Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. Before we get into the details about Jesus' evaluation over the church in Ephesus, let's get a little bit of background information, because this will really help us to understand the evaluation that Jesus gives to the church in Ephesus. The seven churches in Asia that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 1 and then subsequently in chapter 2 and 3, these seven churches in Asia were on a mail delivery route, and they came in the following order. In other words, the mail delivery person got to Ephesus first and then went to the other cities. So the mail delivery route was in the following order. First, the city of Ephesus, and you can see that in Revelation chapter 2 in verses 1 through 7. Then he would go on to the city of Smyrna, which you can see in Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Then he would go on to the city of Pergamos, which is in Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Then he would go on to Thyatira, the fourth place, which is Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. Then his fifth stop would be the city of Sardis, and you can see that in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. His sixth stop was in the city of Philadelphia, which is in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. And then the seventh and final stop was in the city of Laodicea, and you can see that in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 14 through 22. Now, the city of Ephesus, the word Ephesus means desirable. So the city of Ephesus was a desirable place to live. It was first on the mail route, and rightfully so, because it claimed as its title the first and greatest metropolis in Asia. And four factors gave it its preeminence as the first and greatest metropolis in Asia. There were four factors that gave it its preeminence. This is what made it desirable. The first factor is that it had the greatest harbor in Asia. And if you know about a harbor, especially in ancient times, but even today, because the transport was not by helicopter, it was not by airplane, it was not by train, it was either over land on some kind of animal or by foot, or it was via the sea. So, when you had a harbor in ancient times, it especially meant that there was some wealth there. It meant that there was commerce. And so this fact that it had the greatest harbor in Asia made it a desirable place to live from a financial standpoint. So that's the first factor, is in the financial area, it was a desirable place to live, Ephesus was, because it had this great harbor. In fact, the greatest harbor in all of Asia at that time. The second factor that gave it its preeminence, which is why it was the first stop on the mail route, is that it was a free city. And that means it was free under the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire still controlled it, but not in the same way that it controlled other places. It gave Ephesus a certain amount of freedom, and that was due to its services to Rome. In fact, many people, when they came to the Roman Empire, they would first stop in Ephesus. And they would then relax there, do some commerce there, they would meet with people there, and then they would journey into the Roman Empire proper. And so this fact that it was a free city due to its services in Rome meant that it had a lot of political connections. A lot of political meetings would happen there. And so that's the second factor, is it was a great political site. The first factor being that it was financial, the second one being that it was a political site. Then the third factor is that it hosted an Olympic-style games that rivaled the ones in Greece. We know about the Olympic Games in Athens, Greece, but here in Ephesus, they had Olympic-style games that rivaled the ones in Greece. Unfortunately, during these games, there was a lot of immorality that was practiced, but it was a free city. They had a lot of sports activities. They had a lot of wealth, a lot of political influence, a lot of people in politics gathered at these games. So a lot of business was done. A lot of deals were made. Even some laws were passed all during these Olympic Games when there was a lot of revelry, a lot of good times, as they called it, that were being had. So it was a socially prominent area. Lots of people came there that were at the highest levels of the social, political, and financial stratum. So that was the third factor that gave it its preeminence. And then the fourth and final factor is that Ephesus housed the Temple of Artemis, aka the Temple of Diana, that's mentioned by Paul when he visited there, as described in Acts chapter 19. And this temple was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was such a grand and spectacular temple with intricate artistic work. It was fabulous, spectacular. It was considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And so people came from all over the world just to view it. But on top of that, while they were there in Ephesus, they visited the temple to worship there. And again, you might expect, rightfully so, or correctly so, that a lot of immorality was practiced there in this Temple of Diana. In fact, the Temple of Diana, if you look at any of the pictures, it shows a woman with multiple breasts. And so this was definitely a place where a lot of sexual immorality, perversions occurred. But it was all wrapped around this religious worship and this religious center of worship. So these four factors made Ephesus a desirable place to live. And when we talk about desirable for carnal-minded people. And the four factors were: it was a great financial center due to its great harbor. It was a great political area due to the fact that it was a free city as a result of its services to the Roman Empire. The third thing is that it had an Olympic-style games there that rivaled the ones in Greece, and so it meant that it was a place for a lot of social interaction. And then finally, it was a great religious center because it housed the Temple of Artemis, or known to us better today as the Temple of Diana. And this was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And so scarcely could a more uncompromising soil be found for the spreading of the gospel, because, like I said again, this was the first and greatest metropolis in Asia. You know, people named it Ephesus because it was a desirable place to live, but it was desirable for all of the wrong reasons. It was desirable if you were a carnal-minded, raunchy person. But of course, Christians should not be so. We should be in the world, but not of the world. So scarcely could a more uncompromising soil be found for the spreading of the gospel. Yet, Paul stayed 3 years in Ephesus, and that was probably longer than he stayed in any other city during his ministry. And you can see that he stayed there for 3 years in Acts chapter 20 and verse 31. Paul actually asked Timothy to dwell in Ephesus, to live there, make permanent residence there, perhaps to become its first bishop. We have that indication from the first book of Timothy in chapter 1, verses 2 through 3, and also in chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Then there's also the story about Aquila, Priscilla, and Apollos. They spent time there preaching the gospel. So there can be few places that better prove the conquering power of the Christian faith. When you put the two together, the fact that this was a wretched city, it was a desirable place for those who were opposed to God, and yet at the same time, this is where so much missionary work took place, and this is where so much success was had by the Christian church. And so there could be few places in the world at that time that better prove the conquering power of the Christian faith. People were in the middle, Christians were in the middle of all of that junk, and yet they were able to preach the gospel, lead people to Christ, build a church there, and do great and powerful witnessing for the kingdom of God in that place. Now, unfortunately, there's little left of Ephesus today besides ruins. The coast is now a harborless line of sandy beach. It was a great harbor at one time, but now there is no harbor. It's just a harborless line of sandy beach, unapproachable by a ship. Now, just think about this. The ships used to be able to come into the harbor, and it was the greatest harbor of Asia Minor. But now ships can't even approach because the harbor is a marsh of dense reeds. That's all it is, a marsh dense with reeds. It was ever a fight to keep the harbor open in the first place because of the silt that the Castor River always brought down. And eventually the fight was lost, and Ephesus not only lost its preeminence, but also vanished from the scene. In other words, the light that was shining in Ephesus as this first and greatest metropolis in Asia, as carnal-minded people said it was, the light of this city was turned off, finally. And so there's great lessons for us to learn as we get to the evaluation of the church in Ephesus. And just keep in mind that Ephesus means desirable for carnal-minded people, and it was a great financial capital, a great political capital, a great social capital, and a great religious capital. That's what made it a desirable place for carnal-minded people. But that is totally contrary to the type of place that God wants Christians to build, and yet God says we have to live in this world, not be of it, but live in it. So people were there living as Christians, and great work was done there. It was a sorry place, but great work was done there. And that's a great lesson for us to learn. But eventually, the light of the city was turned off. The city came into ruins. The harbor became no more. And therefore, all of the other things that went on there just started to die down. That's a great lesson for us today. And speaking of today, I hope that today you'll log on to our website and you'll click on the link for this article, The 3 P's of Our Profession, so that you can read up on all of our past programs that led us to this point. Everything that we have on our website is free of charge. You can either read it online, download it, you can make copies of it, pass it to your friends. Freely God has given to us, freely we want to give to you. So please listen for our website at the end of this program. I thank you again for joining me in this program. I hope you'll come back tomorrow, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.